سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين. قال قائل منهم لا تقتلوا يوسف وألقوه في غيابة الجب يلتقط بعض السيارة إن كنتم فاعلين. قالوا يا أبانا ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف وإنا له لناصحون. أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلعب وإنا له لحافظون. قال إني ليحزنني أن تذهبوا به وأخاف أن يأكله الذئب وأنتم عنه غافلون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, I recited verses from Surah Yusuf, ayat number 9 to number 12. We are doing Surah Yusuf for a few weeks. We know Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam had a lot of affection for the youngest child, Yusuf alayhi salam and Binyamin. And the 10 other children that were born from another mother, another wife, they felt that why their father is showing extra compassion to them and not giving them the same attention. So they decided to cause harm to Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, and they had a meeting. One brother said, we throw him in the well. One brother said, we'll kill him. Okay, we'll kill him. Said the eldest brother, his name was Yehuda. He had a soft spot for his young brother. He said, don't kill him. We'll throw him in the well. Let's do the translation of the ayat of the Quran, and then we'll give a little explanation. Verse number 9 of Surah Yusuf. The brother said, kill Yusuf alayhi salam or throw him in some land so that your father's face, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, may be yours alone. And after that, you may become a righteous people. The next ayat, one of them said, do not kill Yusuf alayhi salam, rather cast him into the bottom of a pit so that some wayfarer travelers picks him up if you are going to do something at all. The next verse, they said, our father, why is it that you do not trust us with Yusuf, while indeed we are his well-wishers? Send him with us tomorrow that he may eat and play, and of course we are his guards. Now, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, just said the nubuwat is given when the age of puberty. Our beloved Rasulullah sallam made the announcement of nubuwwat when he was the age of 40. I got Maariful Quran in front of me. They said when this incident was taking place, as reported by Ibn Jarir rahmatullahi, Ibn Al-Munzir, Ibn Abi Shayba, The age of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was 7 years at that time. So when they asked the father permission, the father said a wolf may attack them, some harm may come to him. But the brother said, we will look after him. It is mentioned also that Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam also seen a dream. The apprehension of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam may have been caused either due to the abundance of wolves in Canaan. The city where they were living was Canaan. Or because he had seen in a dream that he is standing on top of a hill and Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is there on the slope downhill. All of a sudden, 10 wolves surrounded him and tried to attack him. But one of the wolves came forward to rescue him from the rest. Once released, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi took refuge inside the terrain. The interpretation of that dream manifested later when it turned out that the 10 wolves were the 10 brothers, and the wolf who defended Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam and saved him from being killed was his elder brother Yuda alayhi salam. And the death of the pit was the interpretation of his hiding under the land. Marif al-Quran, this is written. Now, very, very important, our way of thinking regarding Nabis and Yusuf alayhi salam, we must be crystal clear that from a young age, Allah give them that good qualities when they don't do anything that is haram, or they don't do such a thing that also that will cause harm to the next person. So Yusuf alayhi salam's heart was completely clean and innocent towards his brothers. But the brothers, they were not Nabis, but they were Muslims. The proof of the brothers being Muslims is later on when the whole episode got exposed and when the family was united. They made dua, they requested the father and Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, make dua that Allah forgive us. And he made dua, Allah will forgive them, Allah will forgive us. So, but the Nabis of Allah, they don't get this. One is wahi, divine revelation. That divine revelation is a message for his community that this action will take us to Jannah and this action will take us to Jahannam. But that type of a wahi the Nabis get when they reach the age of poverty, and later on, like Nabi saw some age of 40, he made that announcement, stop worshipping idols, stop doing all those haram actions, worship one Allah, and these good actions will take you up to Jannah. The other level, another type of inspiration they get from childhood is for their personal benefit and their personal protection. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman has given a slight detail. I'm just summarizing what Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman has written. So Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was thrown into the well, they put him in a bucket and they cut the rope. His attention would be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help me. And it mentioned every Nabi that go through some difficulty. There's a Jummah khutbah which I read a few times in different masjids also. That when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire, he turned to Allah. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal waqeel, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. When Nabi Yunus alayhi salam was in the stomach of the whale, the fish, the darkness of the ocean, darkness of the night, and darkness of the stomach of the whale, he recited, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Allah took him out. And similarly, when Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was thrown to the bottom of the well, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned, in the well, near the water, there was a rock. And for Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam to actually hold Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam and the bucket and put him in a secure spot on a rock so that he don't drown or don't get hurt. And Jibreel alayhi salam came with the assistance of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. That is what written in Marif al-Quran. Now, other thing very, very important also, how long did you remain in the well? There's different ulama's sayings are here, but time is very, very short. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam remained in that well for 3 days, hiding away from others. His brother Yehuda brought food and water for him every day and lowered it down to him through a bucket. Now, while he was 3 days there, and then we'll discuss next week, the travelers came and took him out. But his elder brother still had the love and compassion for him, that every day he should bring food and drink for him and lower it down in the well. Allah make it easy. Now we started some hadiths from Riyaz al-Salihin pertaining to traveling. Many of us travel. But our religion is so beautiful, it gives us such wonderful explanations, some wonderful advices. Let's read. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا مع ذي محرم عليها متفق عليه. هذا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said it is not lawful for a woman who believes in Allah and the last day to undertake a journey of a day and night without a mahram. Mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Hadith number 1088. In Muslim Sharif, Kitab al-Hajj, 479, Hadith number 479. If a female has to travel, today we have modern day of transport, we have luxury vehicles, aeroplanes, luxury buses, trains, etc. During the golden era of Rasulullah and the Sahaba, the mode of transport was animals, camel, horseback, donkey, horse and cart, etc. But the ulama have written that 78 kilometers or more, if we travel, then a shari safar, she have to travel with the mahram. And it's all the benefit in this world and the hereafter. Who is a mahram? It is the wife, is it the husband, the father, the son that is 15 years and older, or the uncle, or the grandfather? They could be the mahram. And especially you stay overnight in hotels, you're going for Hajj, going for Umrah. We have to travel with the mahram. And a humble request to our Muslim travel agents that if they get a female that want to travel more than 78 kilometers, or they're booking a ticket for an overseas trip, and if she's traveling alone, the travel agent can give advice not to travel alone. Take a mahram with. And if worse come to worse, the travel agent can be abadar. I don't want to book your ticket. Go to another travel agent. In that way, inshallah, Allah will get happy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be happy. We're stopping the doors of fitna and fasad. Allah make it easy. Another, when we're returning from the journey, there's a dua to be recited. An Anas radiallahu anhu qala aqbalna ma'an nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ana wa abu talha wa safiyya radifatuhu ala naqati hatta iza kunna bi zahril madinati qala aibuna taibuna abiduna li rabbina hamidun falam yazal yaqulu zalik hatta qadimna al madina. Rawahu Muslim. Has Anas radiyallahu anhu narrates that we returned from a journey with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we approached Medina Munawwara, he said, we are returning from our journey. We are repenting to Allah. We are the worshippers of our sustainer. We are praising him. He continued saying this until we reached Medina Munawwara. Muslim Sharif Kitab al-Hajj, 1345, and in Tirmizi Sharif, Hadith number 3440, and in Ahmad, 1-256. So this is a beautiful dua when we return from a journey. A'ibuna ta'ibuna abiduna li rabbina hamidun. We are returning and we are repenting also. As humans, we make some, Nabi Sassam never make a mistake. He's Imam al-Anbiya. And the Sahabas and Azwaj al-Mutahharat, they have wonderful qualities. And Allah also protect them to the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these duas Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam read is to teach us for the people to come after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallam got the highest rank in Jannah. So when it comes to repenting of sin, it is for us, not for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not for the very pious personalities, the Sahaba. So returning, we are repenting, and we are worshipping our sustainer, we are praising him. Another hadith we recite regarding traveling. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qal, السفر قطعة من العذاب يمنع أحدكم طعامه وشرابه ونومه فإذا قضى أحدكم نحمته من سفره فليعجل إلى أهله متفق عليه. حضرت أبو هريرة نريد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a journey is a portion of chastisement, some type of difficulty, some type of a punishment. It deprives a person of his delicious food at home that he is used to, his delicious drinks and sleep, rest, he's used to his comfortable bed at home. But during journey, he misses his bed, he misses his food, he misses his cold drink and juice or cold water. So when any of you completes the purpose of his journey, he should hasten in returning to his family. Mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Hadith number 1804, and Muslim Sharif in Kitab 179. It is mentioned human nature, that we are used to living at home, comfortable. Now when we travel, one is in a 24-hour cycle, we need 6-7 hours of sleep. That is human nature. Now if you are traveling on a 2 days journey or 3 days journey, first of all, your sleep is being disrupted. Second is that you may carry some patkas with you, but sometimes the patkas get finished now, and then you have to buy food, or it's not the same like home. Normally when traveling in the aeroplanes, although you request for special meals, vegetarian meals, or a food platter, the meat is very doubtful, you abstain from meat all the time. But even that vegetable dish or that fruit platter is not the same like what we are used to having at home. But something better than nothing. Even the tea, coffee, what they sell, not the same like how we want it. And once we reach our journey, the ulama have written that you don't travel without any purpose. There must be some purpose behind your journey. One is every day we are traveling to earn our halal rozi, different types of employment and jobs we have. And some of us travel less than 78 kilometers, or just 10, 20 kilometers a day, we need to earn our rozi. Be mindful of our farz salah on time. And those that travel sometimes 78 kilometers or more, or those that are rep for companies, that travel to different towns and cities for doing business, etc., they're also earning the halal rozi, Allah reward them. But that whole journey is mentioned in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then once your object is being fulfilled, then return back home. And not forgetting our jamaat, parents go for 3 days, 40 days, 4 months, away from the family, away from the comfort of their home. Some masjid has good facilities for the jamaats. Some masjid have simple facilities. And our pedal jamaat that go for 4 months, 40 days, they go in such areas where there isn't a built-up masjid. Remote areas, they're putting up a tent, a portable toilet, cooking themselves, and all for the sake of Allah. Nobody sponsors them, take out money from their pocket. How happy Allah Ta'ala will get. But in this hadith, Nabi says, once your time is over, you return back home, and Allah make it easy for me and all of us to practice on the wonderful advices of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other masnoon duas of traveling in the madrasa, books of our children, we could learn it from there. But one short dua, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ladhi, we should all recite when leaving our home.